Hey everybody, welcome back to Truth and Justice. I'm sure most of you are looking in your feed today wondering where your Friday follow-up episode is. I had a slight miscommunication with Kelly. She didn't realize that the follow-up was supposed to be published today. She's working on that right now, so later on this afternoon, you'll still get your normal Friday follow-up episode. It's a really good one, I think, a very long one. It's like an hour and 20 minutes long, where we kind of wrap up everything as far as where we've come so far in the year 2022. That'll be your last official episode of this year. In the meantime, I've had this bonus episode ready to go. I was going to publish it next week, but since we don't have a follow-up this morning, I decided to go ahead and publish it now. So this is another down and dirty, no music, no editing, no frills, just a bonus episode. This is Bo Nash's 2015 interview. You're going to hear in this interview, it's, I believe his mother and father are in the room with him. So sometimes it gets a little confusing to hear because there's multiple conversations happening at once. His mom's talking to one detective while Bo's talking to another one. But this gives you a good idea of how everyone was thinking about 9 years after the murders. Robert and Christian had been arrested at this point. I don't believe the charges had been dropped yet. And there's definitely a lot of frustration with everyone. And I'll have a couple more bonus episodes to share with you coming up during next week while we're taking the week off for the holidays. So hopefully everybody's safe. It's very cold and windy. It's 35 below zero with the wind chill here in Michigan. So we're all snowed in, so we might as well put something out for you guys to listen to. I hope you all have a great weekend and a happy holiday if you celebrate. Here's today's bonus episode, the 2015 interview with Bo Nash.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say goodbye to the dish and hello to Sky Stream, the new way to get Sky over Wi-Fi. So you can get unmissable Sky shows like The Last of Us and Succession, as well as Netflix and Discovery Plus, and loads more, all in one subscription for £26 a month. Oh, and next day delivery with no upfront fee. Sky Stream, TV simplified. Head to sky.com. Requires Sky Stream and broadband minimum speed 10 megabits per second, 18-month minimum term. Cut-off times apply for next day delivery. Excludes bank holiday, 18 plus, terms apply.
I'm going to try not to take too many notes, but just for the sake of being here and speaking with you, I just want to, just for the record, your last name?
Nash.
Okay. This is the first time you and I have actually met before. I've read, you know, some of the things, so I feel like I know a little bit about you, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which department of investigator are you from?
I am with Riverside County Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
So I'm actually...
Not the homicide where there's like an upper and lower division?
Actually, yes, I am in the homicide division. We both work homicide.
Lower or upper?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by...
Because three Cavazon guys came over here before.
Uh-huh.
They were from the upper division, they said.
Oh, okay. You know what? That was a few years ago, right?
That was the Riverside Superior Court. Regarding the court case.
Okay.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
That's my father.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm not ready for spring.
It's coming quick, isn't it?
Yeah, my fair skin's not going to last.
And so your first name?
Bo.
B-E-A-U.
B-E-A-U.
A-U. No E.
No, B-E-A.
Beautiful without the two.
Ah, gotcha. B-E-A. Okay. And when's your birthday? I laugh. That's my daughter's birthday.
Really?
That's correct. And I do have your phone number. And is this your current address here on Rock Ridge?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rustic Rock.
Thank you. All right. Are you working right now?
Yep.
Where are you working?
Interstate All Battery Center. Been there for about a month almost.
How's that working out?
It's getting going.
Yeah.
I just had a hard time reacclimating myself to the workplace because of the physical and mental abuse I went through with my wife. Like, she basically broke every nose in my face, like, just totally verbally abusive to me, physically abusive. Just, I have a restraining order against her, and so does she.
Well, you're in a better place now, though,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Good, good.
I'm happier now. I'm making, like, $800 a month, and I was making $9,000 with her.
So, I mean, not knowing you and seeing you, you look like, you know.
Well, I got voted most fall in high school, so I know what it's like to be up and down, you know.
Yeah. We never know what we sign on for, huh? Until until we're almost there. I mean, sometimes it's too late, but yeah. You know what? You're still here, and it looks like you're making a forward push, so that's a good thing. As far as the your place of employment, what city or
Palm Desert?
Palm Desert.
Sorry about the dogs.
The dogs are
running
at all.
Are they in the middle room?
Even a muzzle can't walk
on
the
dogs.
Yeah, because
you can barely hear
them. If you're happier out here, that wouldn't bother
you. Told me you were going to school right now, right?
I already graduated from COD. I got my AA there. I transferred to CSUSB in the spring of 2013, but my wife pretty much gave me an ultimatum that I either quit everything, like school and work, or be with her. And the fact that I was having black eyes and scratch marks in my
neck. Starting back in September.
Yeah, I just went through a lot. Like last time you guys were here, I was drinking a Four Loko, and like I was just, I was out of it. I was going through my divorce, and I was relaying information properly. I wasn't in my right mind to do it effectively where you understood it. It was more of like a ramble about my past and stuff.
That's understandable.
I want to get the case solved if it can. I want to just put whoever I can adjust this because I don't think it's right, you know?
Okay, all right. And you know, too, that, you know, with us talking to you, you know, and I know you know this already, the information that you provide, you know, be it however helpful it may be or trite or whatever, however you want to put a definition on it, however that comes down, I mean, it's a piece of a puzzle to many, many, many pieces of the puzzle. I know you know
that. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Because I'm very familiar with this case.
Okay.
I'm sure you are too.
I'm getting there.
What I want to know is, how did an affidavit that was from Javier Garcia's lawyer get turned in to somebody in order to file charges against two people for murder? Because that's what I've heard from multiple sources, including Elizabeth Bobion, the KMR6 reporter. Because I want to talk to her too.
Okay.
Like, I'm the only one probably that's in this whole desert that's came forward before all the billboards and all the awards came in. I called Luis probably 3 or 4 years ago. So I mean, I've been adamant about getting this solved. I just don't like how it's being solved improperly.
Yeah.
I feel like investigators are ignoring my comments. Not you, but LeClaire especially. I just feel like last time they came over here, they were more of in Javier Jr.'s best interest. And I had pending court cases, and I don't anymore. So I don't have to blow smoke up either of your asses about his dad or him. I mean, he did tell me he was joyriding in the area when it happened at the same time. And the cops came into my work when I worked at Circuit City, where the Best Buy is now. And they pulled my time cards, Coriana's time cards, and Alex Fulon's time cards. And that was our group of circle of friends we hung out with. Mm-hmm. The cops, last time they came here, they mentioned a guy named Sam Gayer and someone else, and I didn't know who they were. They also were implicating Robert and Christian, like trying to get me to admit something they did wrong in high school or any behavioral tendencies they may have had in the past that may have resulted in the crime they committed, you know, back after high school. But I didn't know them well enough to do that, but I did know Javier well enough. He didn't seem like the violent type, but if he was involved in a situation where there was violence, he's not the type to say, hey, stop it. He's the type to sit there and either look or walk away and not say anything to anybody. And I believe that's what happened.
But you're saying, just so I understand, you're saying that as far as his involvement with something that's dirty and maybe physical, that's not really...
Well, I mean, if you know a crime happened and you saw it or you're aware of it before the police haven't finished their investigation of whether it was a homicide or an arson or like a accidental electrical fire, they didn't really pay much attention to Javier.
Okay.
And he was so obsessed with her to the point where he'd drive from Cathedral City with his mom's gas card and state car all the way up Pinyon, this mountain, about a 30-minute drive, windy, past Sugarloaf Cafe, into the Pinyon Flats where it happened, just to check on her, just to pick her from work. That's not something someone infatuated does. You know, roses, or, you know, card at work, that's infatuated. But obsessive, kind of compulsively obsessive, that's what he was. And on top of that, his direct cousin was dating her. So that probably didn't cause much of a friendship, you know, between the two of them, unless they both plan on doing something to her, which at first I thought happened. But then investigators said they found DNA cards of Christian Smith and Robert Pape had weapons in his house that matches. But I don't see Robert and Christian, like, doing something like that, unless they were, like, that young and stupid. But Javier wouldn't have told me he was involved in up in the area joyriding unless he had something else to say to me. Like, to see if I was comfortable with what he was telling me so far, and I got freaked out and said, I don't want to hear anymore, bro, just keep it yourself. Because, like, he was half drunk, but when he gets half drunk, he admits things that he normally doesn't do, and it's truth. Sometimes it's lies, but with this particular situation, it was the truth. And I believe him because he joyrided everywhere. Like, when I used to know when he used to pick her up back and forth from work, I mean, that's an hour one way and an hour back, just to pick someone up from work. You really must really want to see him that bad, you know?
Where's my tax money?
Well, you guys are probably going to tell Javier Garcia Sr., like, what I say. I mean, he was a great dad, and he was I hung out with him when I was...
Well, just so you know, I don't, at this point, my partner and I don't have...
Paperwork.
Yeah, but we don't work for Mr. Garcia.
But he could read it, though.
Okay, somewhere. But I'm just telling you.
I'm a criminal justice major, so...
Okay, but I just...
I know how paperwork works, and whether it's, you know, you two share it with each other, he can easily just type in a computer, look me up, and see what happens.
But I just want you to know and understand. I don't need to seek. I'm not seeking him out. I don't have a relationship with him.
Are you with?
Well, who are you affiliated with then?
Are you
with Riverside County Sheriff's Department?
In Riverside,
yes, that's correct.
Are you a cold case unit?
That's correct.
Are you part of all I need?
Riverside County, it's the Sheriff's Department.
So you're the cold case unit. That's correct. You're not part of the DA.
No, we have an East End and a West End.
So what do you think about Luis Bolaños?
If that makes sense. We work out of Riverside, but it's the Sheriff's Department.
Well, off the record. As much as I would...
You can type me a message if you want.
I appreciate that.
Either way, I don't trust him.
Even...
And I can...
Anybody that's in a law enforcement... Anybody that's in a law enforcement career that gets dishonorably discharged for some odd reason, whether it's military or DA or police, you did something wrong, unethical, and you shouldn't be a cop or an investigator, unless you're a dirty one. It's out for themselves and not for the actual, like, justice for the victim's family.
Who are you talking about?
Luis. Because he made me believe that, like Javier and Garcia did it all this time, and then boom, the next week on the news, Christian and Robert did it. And the cops that came here before they even arrested Christian and Robert were telling me their names, asking if I knew them and their tendencies and stuff. Like, I kind of got the feeling, like, oh, they're probably going to arrest those two. And they also mentioned Sam Gay or some other kid I went to high school with, but I never even knew him. So I just...
He ran into the cousin at the university.
He changed his name,
cousin,
too.
But I remember it was that day. He goes, oh, Mom, guess who I saw at the school? And he said that the cousin couldn't even look him straight in the face.
It was Javier's direct cousin, Jacob, the one that was dating Becky. Well, she was dead while she died. From what I understand, though, Becky was dating a whole bunch of guys when she died there.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing.
And that's primarily why we're here to talk to you, you know. There are a lot of people that, you know, seem to have some background on Becky, Javier, whoever you want.
The last 2 weeks Becky was alive, mm-hmm. I was around her more than anybody else besides Javier.
Okay.
Every day.
And why was that?
Because she pretty much introduced me to smoke marijuana.
Okay.
That's what I meant when I said the kid changed his life earlier.
For some reason, I thought you knew her longer than that. I thought maybe in the reports I read suggested that you had known her.
What's weird is like her friends, some of her best friends that I didn't know, but I've gotten in contact with to ask questions. They tell me they think it's Robert and Christian. Because Robert was, like, devastated over the fact they broke up. But, like, the whole time I was with Becky, that 2 weeks, and I was with her, like, pretty much all day, every day, she didn't get any phone calls from Robert. She didn't get any, like, text messages. Her number never changed. She never was harassed. The only person she was harassed by is Javier, and we had to warn him to calm down because as friend to a friend, like, you're being really obsessive, like, to the point where, like, you're being scary, you know?
Okay. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, on what you mean by...
Like being scary?
Yeah.
Like showing up at her work without being called upon to pick her up. Like never really buying her anything, like roses or anything like that. More of just like physical affection and where like a servant kind of thing, you know? Like pick you up anywhere, buy you whatever you want. Like I'll go to the grocery store 20 miles down that way just to get you a can of soda kind of thing. Like he'll do anything, including picking her up at work and opinion. Just to appease her, or just to make her feel like he cares. And he didn't take the warnings really well, and the way he acted after she died was really weird.
Okay, and when you say the warnings, what do you mean?
The warnings of...
You said he didn't take the warnings.
From us.
Okay, and that's what I mean. Like, explain to me, elaborate, what did you guys do or say?
She was dating Jacob, his cousin, and openly, and we all knew about it. Me, Alex, Corey, our small group of friends. And after they started dating, like, she didn't... Like, we never saw Becky, like, go spend the night at Jacob's house or, like, them kiss or anything, but we knew they were a couple. And Javier, we knew, had a crush on her extremely. And it was really weird because, like, Javier and Jacob had a relationship where they call each other brother. Like, they were, like, really, really weird, like, in particular, like, really peculiar people. And after Becky died, I didn't hear from Jacob until around 2 years later, and he was with Javier. And I was in Palm Springs, and he told me, hey, I'm in town. Can you get me some medical marijuana? And I didn't have a car anymore because I stopped smoking. And I was like, I have a friend that owns a dispensary, and I went and got it for him. And I gave it to him, and then pretty much said goodbye. And that was the last time I saw him. And that was like 2007? 2007. Because I know the murder happened in 08 or 06 of September 18th. Was it 18? 17th. 18th morning, he had me drive up there, all frantic, before there was even news crews. That was my number one red flag. I was like, how the hell, I was looking at my phone on the way up the mountain, like, KMIR, KSQ, and Desert Sun, I mean, a triple homicide, it has to be on there, you know? Whether it's happened that night, usually it would be on that night, if it happened at 7 o'clock at that night. But being not on there the next morning was a red flag to me. And the way he was, like, acting on the way up there was saying stuff like, oh, I know if Becky's okay if her car's not there, but if it is there, then something's wrong. And, like, he told me, he didn't tell me he joyrided up there until, like, 2 weeks after she died at a bonfire when he was, like, had, like, a little tipsy because he's not much of a drinker. He pulled me aside and told me that he was dating Ashley, this girl that I hooked him up with because he thought I liked her. Sorry for being confusing. But it was kind of like a rebound, like to get his mind off what just happened with Becky. And it worked, but I saw Ashley's mom about a year and a half ago when I was working at Massage Envy, and she came and recognized me, and I didn't recognize her. And she said, hey, Bo, have you seen Javier around? And I'm like, who are you? You know? And she's like, oh, I'm Ashley's blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I haven't, actually. And she was like, you know what's really weird? It's he took her up there like 4 or 5 times, and they were dating to like reminisce through the rubble. And he took me up there like once or twice, too, to do it. So I don't know if he was looking for little trinkets or if he was looking for like evidence, like casings. I have no idea. But the fact that he told me he was joyriding up there when it happened is, it just tells me enough that he wouldn't joyride up there not to check on Becky. He wouldn't just go and like go on the main road and like look like a quarter mile that way and see like, oh, house looks fine, it's not on fire, and turn around. He went and looked, you know? He went and looked. Because there's no way that next morning he'd have like such a behavior to him to where he was like so frantic but not like, like not very frantic in my mind, because I'm pretty good at acting and he's not.
Yeah. Tell me about that morning. How
I had class around 9:50. I had algebra 40 at COD or something. I had a call on the way to school. He wasn't crying, but he was frantic. Like, we gotta go. I'll fill your gas tank. Something happened to Becky. Blah blah blah. I'm like, are you sure? Let me look on the news. I go on my iPhone and I look up. Nothing happened. No fires. No, you know, usually when there's a fire, even if it's not an arson or if it's just a fire, it's in the news. Whether it's a business or a house or whatever.
And he said something happened to something. What did he say?
He's like, I know something's wrong. I know something's wrong. And like he had me like race up there and filled my gas tank. And I had an STI. I don't know if you know what that is. A Subaru. But I was going like 80, 90 all the way up there. Like, because he had me scared because I cared about Becky. I didn't know her very long. But the way he made it sound was like that something was wrong and she needed help.
And where was he when you got that information?
I have no idea. I picked him up at his house, I believe. Yeah, I think it was his house. I left COD and I drove all the way to Cat City because his mom used to live in Cat City in like a cul-de-sac over by
the high school.
Over by, no, Sunny Sands Elementary, over up by McCollum and Des Palms somewhere. And I went to the house, picked him up, filled my gas tank up, raced up there. And before we even got there was like one corner van. They were just taping it off. There was no media. There was like one cop car with more pulling up. Like we got there before them. That's what really freaked me out.
What time was it about that you got up there?
9:10.
Well, I thought you said you were at COD at 9:50.
Well, class starts at 9. I was there around 8:45.
Okay.
And by the time I got into Javier's house, it was like around 9:40-ish. And the time I got up the hill was around like 10:45.
Okay.
Because I remember getting up there before noon. Because around like 1 or 2 o'clock, that's when the news stations started coming up there. Okay. I didn't stay up there that long, but we could see them driving up the hill as we were going down.
Okay. And what was he saying to you while you were driving up there?
Dead silent. Up the hill, he was just like quiet half the time, and like, but I was like glancing out the corner of my eye, looking at him, and his body expression, like, wasn't the type of expression as if someone was hurt and he was scared. It was something he was already expecting, and he was just like playing it off. Like, some, if you can ask these two, I'm an actor. Like, I can act, and I've never been trained, but I can tell when someone's bullshitting. I can read their body language. I can read everything about them. Whether they make one mistake. it's not sympathetic or not like worried. Like just one slip up and I'll be able to tell you're lying. And I could tell he was lying. So when I went up there, I kind of just like stayed in my car. He got out, walked about 20 feet in the dirt, and the house was over there to the left. There's some bushes, and he saw the car, and then he just kind of did like a fake sob where he put his hands behind his head. And he wasn't hysterically crying. He just did like a force me cry kind of thing. And then after that, like I said, he was the person that waxed his eyebrows at an Asian salon and got like a trim at a salon. He grew out his afro after that ever since, and he didn't shave his eyebrows. He started dating Ashley, and like the look on his face was like, it wasn't like he was like a stone like on high look, but he was like just gazing out into the into nothing. Like he was just thinking nonstop. And his personality changed, and he was mooching off everybody, and then his mom moved into Sacramento 2 months later.
Well, what type of things was he saying, or what was his behavior after that?
Just
as far as what you know, your interaction.
180% degree change in personality.
Tell me some things.
He was like lively, goofy, funny before, joking, like caring, like would be there for you kind of friend. And afterwards, he just turned into an exact opposite. Like even if you needed him, like, he wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire kind of thing. Like, he just had, like, one set mind of getting high and getting his mind off whatever he was on.
Would you consider that maybe a way of him maybe being in mourning is the word
no.
I think of? How would you categorize it?
Like, sadness. Like, frustration because he couldn't stop whatever happened because he was up there. And I know he was. I don't think he took any part of it. I think he did witness maybe a fire, and like turn around and booked it. Because he knew where Becky lived, and you could see her house probably from the main road. Because he'd go right on the dirt trail, and go left. I don't remember how to get up there. But I think he knew what happened. I'm not sure if he knew about murders, but he knew there was a fire. And I guarantee if he saw the fire, he definitely went closer to look at it.
Why don't you think he would tell you this?
Tell me in detail?
What you saw, yeah.
In detail, besides mm-hmm. the part he was joyriding?
Yes.
Because I got uncomfortable and told him not to tell me anything else after he told me that. Because if he told me, I'd be involved too, and I'd be an accessory to the murder. Because if I know, and he knows, and if I don't report it, I'm just as guilty. And that, I'm not putting that on my conscience.
Okay. So you had a feeling then that...
I told Claire that too.
Okay. So you had a feeling that he saw...
He told me more. Verbally.
Okay. What verbally did he say?
He told me he was joyriding up in the area. And up in the area, I was like, where? He's like, up in Pinion, right by her house. And I was just like, well, you didn't see anything? He's like, no. He started like mumbling. And I was like, just leave it there. I don't want to fucking know. Because like I was in criminal justice back then. Remember, that's before I started taking psychology. And I knew that if he told me something, I'd be obligated to tell law enforcement.
Okay.
Because that's a triple homicide.
Okay, and just so I'm clear, when that conversation that you and him are having,
yeah.
It's about which night?
It's about the night that it happened.
Okay.
And as soon as he told me he was up there joyriding in the area where it happened, I told him, no more, I don't want to hear anything.
The night that it happened, the night of the murders?
Yep.
Okay.
And he took me up there the next morning to pretend that he didn't know what was happening.
And when you say that, what do you mean by him pretending?
Like the next morning after it happened, he called me frantic. Like I've never heard Javier on the phone frantic before, because he was that kind of guy. He was like always like goofing and laughing. So I wouldn't know what a frantic real and a frantic fake would be from him. But by looking at his body language, he wasn't like on the way up the hill, like you can tell when someone's in an antsy or in a hurry or like anxious to like really know something or crying. None of the above. He was just mute, like and kind of expecting what was going to be there.
Can I ask a quick question?
Please, by all means.
Why would he need a ride up there? Why is he asking you to go up there?
The night before it happened, which was a Saturday night, I spent the night at Becky's house with Javier and Becky, and he had me drive my car because he could fill my car with the gas tank. Unlimited gas. It's like a Chevron gas card that all state representatives get. You can go fill this sucker up whenever you want. Anybody's tank. Free gas. So I was like, free gas? Why not? You know?
What car was he joyriding in the night before?
In his...
Or the night of the murder.
The car he was joyriding in was either going to be his mom's state assembly Ford Expedition, had the license plates. It was red CA, then 80, 80th district, I'm assuming. And then that night, he either might have been in that car, or he might have been in his Dodge Intrepid, which got trashed. It got totaled. But he was in either or. He had access to gas cards in both. And Circuit City, I worked there with Alex and Caribbean, or Caribbean is out, that's his nickname. Caribbean, Corey, those are the only two county cards besides mine, I think they came in and pulled. Because I remember Riverside County Sheriff coming in and pulling all three of our time cards. And I was like, no problem, I don't have anything to hide. I was like, I hope you find out who did it. But like, for the 3 months, I didn't think Javier did it until like, I started putting two and two together about like how his mom moved him out of town. I was in Nevada now, Cushy, in a state correctional position. Like, that's not Javier. Like, he's not.
But the closest he ever came to telling you anything along those lines was when he started to kind of mutter and stammer while you guys were driving up the hill, and that's when you told him you didn't want to hear about it.
No, he told me that after it happened.
Right.
He told me that like 2 weeks after the death happened.
Right.
At a barn party up in Pinyon.
Okay.
And he was like a little tipsy. He took me to the side. First, he told me, he broke the news to tell me that he was dating Ashley. I didn't really care because I wanted to hook them up to get his mind off Becky. So I didn't mind that because he thought I liked her. So I said, okay, so was that it? He's like, and he looked down at the ground and he kicked a rock or something. And he was like, dude, if I tell you something, you promise you keep it to you and you only. And I was just like, what? He's like, I was up here joyriding when it happened. I was like, what happened? He's like, when Becky died. I was like, you didn't see anything? He's like, well, and I was like, just don't even fucking tell me anything more. I was just like, I don't want to know. He's like, that's something that, like...
But
like,
at that point in time, you didn't think he was a suspect, so why would you want to stop him? Why would you think that
I did think he was a suspect as soon as you told me he was joyriding up there.
Oh, so at that moment,
yeah,
that's when you
at the bonfire.
Before that.
That's when he was all dazed out and growing his afro and, like, partying, and that's after Becky died, like, and that's before he met Ashley, or right around the same time, and they got together. And he took me aside in the dirt to tell me that, and he thought I was going to, like, sock him in the face, like, he was scared. He was like, do you put his hands behind his back? And he was like, just give me one good one I want, you know? I was like, dude, I don't like her like that, she can have her. And after that happened, he dated her for those 3 months until he moved, and he moved all random to Sacramento, but that same girl, he took up there 3 times to reminisce in the rubbish. And I went up there once, and I stayed in the car. I was like, I'm not getting my shoes dirty. You know, I don't know what you're looking for, but good luck. So, I mean.
And that was something, too. You guys would go up to, not when I say you guys.
You mean Pinyon Party?
People, yeah.
Yeah, like me, Corey, Alex. There was a guy named Nick Coraline. He had a house up there, kind of like maybe a quarter mile from Becky's in Pinyon. That's where we partied mostly. We never partied at Becky's house, but Becky would come over once in a great while, too. But we partied in Pinyon, but the spot where Javier told me was, like, out in, like, the, you know, you take this trail, you go that way, you go this way. It was in the middle of a desert area with a boom fire. It wasn't anybody's house. But it happened 2 weeks or 3 weeks after the murder happened.
Was it close to the house, or
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it was in Pinyon.
Okay.
But it wasn't close. Like, you couldn't see from here to there. It was probably, like, another half mile through dirt that way. But just the fact that he told me he was joyriding up there, it freaked me out. It was like, why are you going joyriding up in Pinyon? It's like an hour and a half drive there and back, first of all, or more. Second of all, I mean, the only reason I think you could go joyriding is because he'd only do that when Becky wouldn't answer the phone, which would mean something already had happened to her, and he raced up there, because that's what he would do. If she didn't answer the phone, he'd race up there, like, and see if everything was okay.
So he's done that before?
Oh, yeah, for work or whatever. Like, if she didn't answer the phone, he knew, because he had a copy of her schedule. Like at Denny's, and if he knew that she had work and sometimes she slept in because she smoked weed and drank, he'd go up there and like pick her up even if uninvited. Like even if she was gonna go and leave, he'd be like, "Oh, I'll give you a ride. I'm already here." And you know, Mr. Sweet Guy, but really Mr. Stalker. Like he maybe wasn't infatuated, but he I wouldn't say Jacob. I don't want to go that way, but I know for sure, like 95% sure. Like if I were to put all my marbles on it, minus one. He was involved as an accessory.
When you say he, you mean?
Javier. There's no way you're up there and you're joyriding and you don't see that. Because when you're joyriding, you're not joyriding like up the winds in the mountains. You're in Pinyon.
It's pretty dark up there too, huh?
Yeah, and when you see a fire, it's pretty bright. Especially around 7, 8 o'clock at night in September. And to come get me the next morning and use my car the night before to go sit at her house, it happened, and then on that's next night, Sunday, it happened, and that next morning, Monday, to drive my car back up there again. I mean, either he was trying to set me up, or he liked filling my tank, you know?
Well, and I don't know if you have anything else, but let's go back a little bit. And you had said that you'd only met, Becky for just a few weeks,
Two or three weeks.
Okay, and you met her, how did you meet her?
Through Jacob and Javier. Jacob used to have an apartment down by El Paseo, on one of the side streets behind it, like the little apartments, and she was his girlfriend. And Javier, we all knew, liked her. So Javier kind of like not stole her from Jacob, but like kind of like hung out with her a lot more because Jacob maybe didn't have tough free time. And Javier hanging out with her wasn't like flirting. He'd just be a little bit here and then trying to get that status eventually.
Okay, so that's how you guys met?
Yeah.
Okay. Before that, though, you didn't go to high school together or anything like that? Didn't work mm-hmm. together, nothing like that?
Nothing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Javier, he worked at Las Casuelas. I forgot the name of it. It's in Palm Springs, the main one, off the strip. His uncle or his tia or tio works there, and he was hired as a busboy or a dishwasher. His days off were Sunday. So that's just, if you want to know that, that's the day it happened.
Okay.
So.
So you guys met, kind of just, and you did a little bit, but a little bit more on you said you spent a lot of time with Becky.
Just those 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Just kind of, because I didn't know her.
Yeah.
You know, and reading reports don't do me justice, mm-hmm. right? But if you can kind of give me an idea of what her lifestyle was or, you know, what her, you know.
She was a wild one. Mm-hmm. She was a tomboy a little bit. She didn't put up with any shit. She'd probably fight a girl after a fight. She was very feisty. She was independent. I mean, this is just off 2 weeks of knowing her, just by knowing her for 2 weeks. She probably was a player in a girl's turn. Because I've talked to, what's really weird is my ex-wife and I were staying at a hotel in Cedar City called the Doral, the Desert Princess. And there's a front desk girl named Megan Birnbaum. And that Megan Birnbaum knew about this Becky girl because I guess her brother Chad was the last person seen with her. That's what she told me. And I found that really weird because, like, how would this person know that person? Like, it's a small desert, you know? But the information she told me didn't make sense, but it kind of did make sense because I've seen pictures of Robert, Christian, and that Chad guy all shooting assault rifles together. So, I don't know. That's not a name they mentioned to me last time. They said Sam Gayer and somebody else that I wouldn't
I'm sorry,
even...
That made scary,
what about the lie that Bonnie Garcia told?
Oh, the campaign lie. It doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. They can do that. The morning after, when he had me drive from 9 a.m. to like all day up in Pinion, his mom lied and said that he was at a campaign event and fundraiser.
And we did, and we're gonna get to that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, in knowing her, and getting a chance, an opportunity to know her, wasn't the type of person that you said, hey, you know, known her for 2 weeks, I don't need this. She was okay. Right?
Yeah, she was cool.
I mean, you know, she knew what she wanted.
But she was very, very flirtatious. She was very, she wouldn't lead you on, but she'd go to the possible point where it almost would be, but like in a kind way. Like, for example, Javier going to Pinion to pick her for work. She didn't say, no, don't do that. She obliged and, you know, why not? Free gas money for me. And so she played both sides of the fence with probably multiple guys. I don't doubt that. She seemed like that kind of girl to me. But with Robert, I don't know anything about that. I didn't even know they dated. I went to high school with Robert. But with Christian, like those two guys in high school, they used to like, they're the kind of guys that walk up to you and like just sock you in the arm and dead arm you, you know? So, I mean, I don't know if they're abusive in that possible way to kill someone with a wheelbarrow. That's a little extreme. So Becky probably took off out of the house. For someone told me it was a mile out, but Luis said it was like 50 or 100 yards. I mean, it makes a difference because if it was more than 50 or 100 yards, you'd have to be in pretty good shape to bring it back. And Javier, in middle school, I got pictures in my room. He was the fastest kid in our school. So, I mean.
All this leaving.
Sorry, so, just struck me. Oh.
So you guys, so you know, you got a chance to meet her and kind of establish a friendship with her and a rapport. And then in the days before the fires and the murder, it's my understanding that you actually were actually up at the house and spending a little time.
The night before.
Okay.
And only the night before. The very first time I've ever met her stepdad, and Becky in her house was that Saturday night, the 16th, or the night before.
The Sunday would be the 17th.
The 16th, that night, I was at her house and we spent the night.
Okay,
I had worked
so Saturday night, the 16th.
Saturday night, the 16th, we spent in the house. I drove my STI up there with both of them. Her car was already parked there. And I was so high on marijuana that I just went upstairs, took one more hit, and went to sleep. That was when I first started smoking, and I was just like, you know. But that was back then. Now, this is now, and I can remember. I took one glance at the dad. He was very polite. One glance at the mom. They were very polite. Becky's room was upstairs, and it had like kind of like a slanted roof. And Javier was in the room, like, looking at all her pictures and, like, just... not. It wasn't really obsessive, but it was, like, just mind your own business, you know? She wants to show you the album, she'll show you the album. Kind of thing. and I went to sleep because I was so high. I'm being honest with you. I woke up the next morning around like 8 because I had my alarm set. I had work that Sunday. That's why I came to hold my time cards. I drove down from Pinyon early because I had to make it to work in Palm Desert. I got there around, I think Sunday started at 11, so I worked 11 to 8. And then at 8 o'clock, I got off. Javier wasn't around. It was me, Alex, and Corey. And we were kind of just waiting in our chill spot for everybody to show up and stuff so we could just hang out. And Javier showed up last, and he had no facial expression, nothing wrong, nothing occurred, like totally just Javier. And then the next morning is when that happened.
Okay, and now back up just a little bit, just so I know. Where did you guys meet at? You said the meeting spot?
Who?
Sunday after you got off work.
Yeah.
Where did you meet?
Well, me, Corey, and Alex, we all worked together at Circuit City, so we all got off the same pretty much time. We'd all go home first, we'd all take our showers, you know, get dressed in our street clothes, and we meet up either at Alex's house or they come to my garage or, you know, we'd go to Javier's house. Javier wasn't available. We went to Alex's house to kick it with Alex and Corey. And
so the following day on Sunday, you went to Alex's
that
house?
That night. I worked all day Sunday.
Right.
And then I got off at like 7 or 8. I went home and showered, and right. I went straight from the shower to my friend's house. It was either Alex or Corey. No, it wasn't Corey, because Corey was in Cat City Cove, and Alex lived in Cat City right next to me, because I lived at Durango over in Durango, right? Is that the name of the street?
Durango. No, I think we're in Rancho Mirage then.
We had two houses, remember?
But I think we were at the Rancho Mirage house then.
In 08, that's possible.
Yeah, maybe.
That's where we were.
Yeah, I think so. Because I had two cars. I had my STI and I had the Civic.
Right.
Yeah, so I went home, I showered, and then usually the meeting spot was either Javier's house, because it was like right down the street from mine and Rancho Mirage, just take the volume right there. It was either Alex's, because he lived in Cat City, almost near Javier, or we'd meet at like the bottom of the hill, kind of like get all our cars together and then go up. We'd only go up to Pinyon like once a week, like twice a week at the most, but I mean, we had fun. It just wasn't until like Becky died that it got all creepy.
Okay. So that night you met at either Alex's house or Corey's house, somebody.
It was either Alex's or Javier's later on in the night.
Okay, and then you said that Javier was the last to show up.
Yeah, he was the last to show up.
And do you, how much later?
Like 10.
Okay, and did he show up with somebody else by himself?
He's a loner.
Okay.
His best friend's Corey and still is, and his dad's Palm Springs Police Department officer. And I've even begged Corey, I've messaged him through my own friend list. And I'm like, can you do anything like to help this case? Like, and he's like, I'm drunk, I don't remember. Like, he's an asshole. He won't turn in his friend hobbies because they're butt buddies and have been ever since high school. And I don't know what he thinks he's saving by not, you know. I just think it's fucked up that there's been three murders and no one's been convicted of it.
Yeah.
Isn't this the only triple homicide in Riverside that hasn't been solved?
What's that?
Isn't this the only triple homicide in Riverside that hasn't been solved?
Well, it's the only one that I haven't been able to solve right now, so I'm...
What's one of them?
Yeah, I'm sure there's... Yeah, there's others, but I'm...
Riverside, too.
I was getting nightmares about it, because, my wife was putting ideas in my head, like the Javier was going to, like, pop up out of the shower when I opened it with a knife in his hand. Like, she was thinking that herself. So she coerced me into calling Luis about 3 or 4 years ago, out of the blue, telling him everything I knew, and he had KCAL 9 with a big old camera come down and black my face out of the hat and my voice and do it.
This was your ex-wife?
I did it though. My ex-wife kind of conversed me into it.
Okay. What was her name?
Her name was Jade. I wouldn't even write her name down. She's a psychopath.
She wasn't even around.
Yeah, she wasn't around
when all that happened.
Oh, just she, so I understand.
She just kind of
her statements.
She kind of convinced me into.
Well, we're just trying to understand proceeding with this.
Okay. I really didn't want to. I mean, I knew the conflict of interest between Javier Sr. and his son, and they work in the same D office, the same county, and that's why Luis is trying to get it over to LA and stuff. But I just don't see it happening. I mean, why would Javier want immunity? Do you guys know about that?
I'm sorry?
Why would Javier ask for immunity? For providing the affidavit?
I couldn't give you a feasible answer because, you know, we try to do the right thing, you know, and I'm not saying that anybody's not doing the right thing, but I don't quite grasp.
Can I ask you a question?
Well,
a cold case file lays cold, correct? From years or whatever, until something pops up.
They're here, aren't they?
What initiated you two professionals to come out this time?
Doug
Hester on a Saturday.
Mid July for them to figure this out.
Who's reenacting this?
Well, just so you know, we work the cold case, but we also do active stuff. But our title is cold case.
Okay.
With regards to this case, it's never been put to rest.
It's always been on the surface.
It should be.
Yeah. Okay. It's never.
Well, I agree. I'm not against justice.
I just don't get why it took 6 years to make an arrest on two people.
We've always been of the assumption that we can't lie, and that the powers that be are kind of putting up roadblocks. Something's wrong.
It's called a conflict of interest.
You're talking about the son of a.
Well, if you fire him, that'll be a problem. The son of an ex-assembly.
And then you've got a husband that's a district attorney.
No, he's not a district attorney. He's a senior district attorney investigator.
And we'll address that in a little bit.
But I'm just paranoid.
He was a good dad. He raised his son, right?
Testimony is were to convict.
I don't think Javier did anything wrong.
Would that family take that?
I just think he was there.
Hang on. So, Bo, what I want to do with you is I have had an opportunity to review our casebooks regarding the death of Becky Friedley and her family. And in reviewing the reports that were asked of you, or the questions that were asked of you, or your interviews with the detectives, I just had a couple of clarifying questions.
Previous detectives?
Absolutely. Previous detectives that spoke to you.
LeClaire and the three that came over here?
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely. So just a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you. So I appreciate that. I just wanted to confirm, and you've already brought this up in this interview, that you actually were at Becky Friedley's house the night prior to the murder.
Yes.
Okay. My question to you is if you can recall, on the day that Becky was murdered, had you had an opportunity to talk to Becky in any way, shape, or form?
No. I didn't even have her phone number.
Okay, you did not have her phone number.
The only reason I hung out with Becky is because Javier was with Becky all the time, and I'd hang out with Javier.
Okay. All right. So the last time you saw Becky was at her house.
Saturday night. Actually, Sunday morning when I left.
Correct.
The day she died.
Okay, correct. You got up. You got in your car. You drove
to work.
Down the hill and went to work.
And that's when I pulled my time cards out of there.
Okay. Now let's back up just a day. The night that you spent at Becky's house, and I believe you told me that...
The 16th.
Yes. And that Javier Garcia was with... The three of you were there, is that
just
correct?
Us three, yeah.
Okay. Did Javier or Becky state to you let me rephrase that question. Okay. That night you were there.
The 16th.
No, that's not correct. I'm getting ahead of myself. After you left Becky's house.
The 17th. In the morning.
You went to work. Correct. Did Javier express to you, or did Becky express to you, that she was going to have male companions to hike with her on Sunday evening?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to follow that up with another question on that same respect. Did Becky or Javier tell you that she, Becky, is going to go hiking with a couple of individuals?
It's a lie.
Okay. Let me finish, though. And that you and or Javier offered to accompany her, but she told you no.
I didn't ask her. I didn't even know she was going hiking.
Okay.
Javier didn't tell me. And why would I go hiking on my day off?
Okay. Did you know anything about a potential hike?
That's why it's a lie.
He's got a fear of heights. He's not the hiking type.
Yeah, I'm not hiking type. And if you look in painting, there's nowhere really to hike. There's dirt trails where she got dragged out of from, and that's about it. There's no hiking areas up there.
Okay.
That's a lie.
All right.
So it's paintballing behind James Workman, because I got closed down like 8 years ago.
Okay.
Cops will probably look into that, but that's true.
We'll come back and we'll talk about that.
If you go and paintball there, when I was in eighth grade, which is way before they did this, Palm Springs Unified School District has a car that comes over there every half hour and checks that perimeter. They weren't paintballing behind JWMS. They're lying. It's like, where are their cell phones off from like that time to that time? It's like, come on now.
Well, that location where, let's talk about it then, that location where the paintballing is, what took its place if no one's paintballing?
I think it's just an alibi they made up.
Okay.
Robert Christian.
But what is physically there then? Is it?
It's like a dirt lot with cardboard set up. It used to be a paintballing course, like a ghetto one, but it's been seized because it's Palm Springs Unified School District property. And if you get injured, like a paintball in the eye on that property, guess who's paying that liability?
Sure.
So that has been allowed since like 06 or 05 or 04, whenever I was in Workman, because that's when I used to paintball.
Okay.
And Robert and Christian wouldn't be paintballing if they got shotguns in their name at 18.
No?
No.
Why
Trust
not?
Me. Because they don't have paintball guns. I've been to Robert's house once, and he lived in Rancho Mirage, and he lived over off the ball. You make a right, and then go down to Chappelle, and then something like another right. It's like a cul-de-sac looking thing. That's where Mrs. Pape used to live. She was my teacher in school, and Robert was more in like pyro shit, like setting mailboxes on fire, like with my friend Miles.
Oh, I was just gonna say, just like Miles.
They all live in the same neighborhood.
Did you ever see any of those
incidents?
Yeah.
I saw a lot of weird and stuff I shouldn't see when I was hanging out with them. Like I'm not gonna go into it, but they're kids with really bad inhibition skills. They don't think before they act. Like they're folding to peer pressure. They're followers. They're not leaders. Like I remember walking into a house that was in the neighborhood where I used to live in Rancho Mirage, where Robert lived and Miles lived, Robert's friend that used to blow up mailboxes together, and there was another kid there, and they were all smoking weed. There was like porn on the TV, and like a gay black guy walking around in his underwear. He was cracked out, and like I didn't know what any drugs were or anything at then, but they were all cool hanging out in that house and smoking and watching gay porn and shit. And I was like, what the fuck? Like I'm like, I'm leaving, and like that's the kind of environment that they were comfortable in, like that kind of sick. I don't know if it's they're experimenting or they're learning, but it's just the people that hang out with and their select group of friends, I grew out of. Like, you know, I grew out of Robert and Miles and all them, because I'm not into, like, blowing people's federal mailboxes on fire. You know, I don't want a record. And Christian, he was more of, like, a loner of Robert in school. He just did a lot of sit-ups and push-ups and socked people in the arm, and that's about it.
The pyromaniac incidents, was that before the murders?
That was like, Javier was like 13, used to be in his backyard with a magnifying glass lighting ants on fire.
So who would you see partaking in that whole pyromaniac?
I saw Robert do it once in the mailbox with Miles. That wasn't with Javier. Then I saw Javier just like, when he get drunk, he'd like run through a bonfire. Like he enjoyed pain or something, or like enjoyed the fire. Like I wouldn't do that if I was drunk, would you? Like run through a bonfire.
Was he in it with those homeless people you told me about too?
That was Miles and Colin.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, I just
back to the paintball. And you had said nobody, they're not paintballing. Did you yourself? Did you use the paintball?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go there.
Not with them. I never even seen them there. I wouldn't want to play paintball with Robert or Christian because they'd probably shoot you in the neck or throat on purpose. Like
they took it seriously, huh?
Well, I think they like pain. Mm. That's my opinion.
All right. Well, did you ever paintball at that location?
At Orphan?
Yeah.
When I was like 12.
Okay. And so you have personal knowledge that as far as paintballing activities go, it shut down.
Oh, yeah. You're out there for 15 minutes, and CSUS, Palm Springs Unified School District car will come up there like a cop and, you know, shine his flashlight and say, if you don't leave, I'm calling the cops. Because it's not like a designated ground to do that. It's on school property. So if anything happens, whether they trip and fall on a rock or if they get hit in the eye with a paintball,
right,
it's on school's liability. Because they're supposed to have a guard that does patrol like that and make sure that nothing like that happens. But as far as paintballing goes, those guys had shotguns when they were like 17, 18. Like they, I know Christian didn't turn 18 until he was like after high school, like late. But Robert, he turned 18 early and he'd buy Christian guns and stuff. And I never saw him, but like on Facebook when he used to have one a long time ago, he posted a picture of like a 12 gauge and like a 40 Springfield and like a 9mm Glock and shit like that. So, I mean, I have my own guns here. Actually, they're hers now. But I'm responsible with them. I'm not like that. Like, I don't go out and just shoot in random places like they did or even transport them. They're for purely home defense. So, I mean, I don't really have much more to say besides if you have more questions, but yeah. I just think Javier is an accessory. I mean,
okay.
I won't get that out of my mind.
Okay. I just like I said, reading the reports, I just want to get some clarification.
Okay. Probably won't ever happen, but still, I know. He knows, I know. So if he wants to take it to the grave with him and not serve any time for it, that's up to him. Karma's a bitch, it'll catch up to him. If he's a CO, someone's probably going to throw some shit in his face.
It's just a question of interpretation. Okay. For the time that you knew Becky and this guy Santiago, and
Javier's cousin?
Correct.
Well, his name's now Santiago.
Right.
I can show you on Facebook. His name used to be Jacob, and then after that happened, he changed it to Santiago. I saw him at my school registration with his mom there. He's like 30 years old with his mommy at registration. It's like, dude's got problems, you know what I mean? He wouldn't even look me in the eye either. Because he knows.
At the time that Becky was murdered with fires and everything, would you yourself perceive that Becky and Santiago Jacob, were they boyfriend and girlfriend?
They were, as far as I know, yeah.
Dating boyfriend and
girlfriend. I never saw them physically touch, but from word from Javier, word from Becky, word from Jacob, they were dating.
Okay.
It might not have been as serious, like, every day, like Javier and her were, but it was getting to the point where Javier was, like, encroaching on Jacob's space. And I don't know if Jacob's violent enough to, like, pull off something with Javier, like a love triangle thing. But that was in Luis's mind, that investigator. He's the one that got me to get going on that. But I just think the fact that, like, I know Javier, and I've known him on and off, but Corey knows him better. But just by being around him enough, he's not a killer. He's a witnesser. He's not a killer. Like, he's the kind of person that will just, like, see something and just shut his mouth and not do the right thing. It's like seeing a lady get mugged in the corner and, like, the guy run off with a purse. You know you can catch him, but you just watch. He's kind of like that. And especially knowing who his parents were, he probably didn't want any kind of involvement with them or any kind of implication involving their Senate runs or their office runs or anything like that. And
sure.
Javier's dad was a good guy. He raised his kid right. Like, I hung out with Javier Sr. when I was, like, 9, 10, 11, 12, went to the beach with him, beach trips. You know, we were friends. But after high school started, he got a little weird. He wore, like, trench coats and shit and, like, hanging out with just Corey. That was the only two they hung out with, was Corey and him. And if you look at my yearbook, I can show you a picture.
Okay. Well,
I mean, to show you how weird he looks, like, because he's out there.
Yeah, well, we'll take a look. Now, these, based on what you've already told me, they're redundant questions that I'm going to ask you.
Go ahead.
Just bear with me.
Let's just zip through them.
Yeah. Do you remember or recall Becky having conversations on the telephone and getting upset about it?
No.
And getting upset?
Nope.
You never asked that question before.
Maybe one time or twice.
Well, we've established
a phone number.
Of
a phone number may have called.
His relationship.
And she might have clicked it down. Could have been a bill collector. Could have been anybody. She never answered the phone and was like, hey, fuck you, stop calling me. She wasn't that type of person.
Okay.
Becky was the type of person where she wanted someone to stop calling him. She'd go to that person's face and slam the phone in their face and stop calling him. She was very nice. She was very polite, but you don't want to get in her bad side. And her bad side is not even that really of a bad side. It's just what she thinks is right and she does what's just. And she was a good girl. Like, she smoked weed, but she didn't do anything else. She didn't do any other drugs. And she drove an hour there and an hour back just to Denny's. And I just think she was screwing with too many guys. For me to hear the name Chad Birnbaum, and then hear Javier, then Jacob, I've been the same way. I'm a guy. I'm not going to lie. I've talked to, like, five girls at the same time. Not dated, but, like, had my options open. Maybe she was doing the same thing because she just got out of a relationship with Robert and wanted to see what was out there. But that murder just happened so random. And it happened, and the way Javier was acting just did not seem right. Did not seem right. Especially me driving the night before to spend the night and having him ask me to drive the day afterwards, too. And then after that, again, to go check on the remnants of the burn.
Sure.
Like, every time it was my car. I understand because his was a piece of shit, and I like filling my gas tank. But, you know, I can kind of see why he wanted me to do it, and also why he took his ex-girlfriend up there three times, too.
Sure. In the days before the murder, did you ever overhear or were you ever told that Robert Pape wanted to come?
Never heard Robert's Pape's name before,
okay,
or anything.
Let me ask. Okay. In the days before, did you ever hear about Robert Pape ever wanting to come up to him in the days before the murder and to make sure that Becky's parents weren't home?
Nope. They were home.
Okay. And also, again, in the days up to the murder,
it's probably with her, probably around a good 6 hours a day.
You're talking about yourself?
For 2 weeks straight, with me and Javier. Me, Javier, Corey, Alex, we'd all fit. She had a sign next beat, so we'd fit like five people. I'd be in the back seat, Javier'd be in the front, maybe Alex sit next to me. And we all smoked for the first time, you know. It was our first 2 weeks of smoking, so we were like in a daze. And she never got any phone calls, never got any kind of harassing messages. Like if I would have known, because like she would have been like, oh, it's this guy again. Like, and Javier or me would have said, like, oh, do you want me to handle him for you? But, like, you know, something like that. There was no repeated phone calls. There was no, like her, like, getting frustrated. Like, her phone, I don't even remember it ringing, you know? She might have changed her number, but, like, how would she change her number and have plans to go hiking with Robert if he didn't have that number? I think way outside the box, and like that's why I thought so much about this, and that's why, whether or not Javier was there or not, but the fact that he told me he was up there joyriding, like, he saw something, and you're an accessory, and that's why he wants to meet me. Like, it's obvious. I don't need a lawyer. You know, I didn't get offered a lie detector test. He did, and he refused it. Moved to Sacramento. I mean, if my mom was Bonnie Garcia and my dad worked for the DA, I'd be too. But then again, I wouldn't kill anybody. He's not that stupid. You know, that's like, you don't take lives. No, I'm afraid to even kill like a hummingbird.
He's
know?
Afraid of bugs.
I'm not afraid of bugs. I value
well,
life.
Well, that's more cockroach or
anything, you know.
So then,
that's good though.
Would it then also be your recollection that you're not aware of Robert Pape calling Becky several to numerous times in the days before?
Nope, not at all. I'm not aware of him calling the whole time I knew her for the 2 weeks. And she would have, like, mentioned something like, hey, Bo, do you know this kid Robert Pape? Like, he's, like, harassing me. Because, like, back then, I may look a little overweight now, but I was, like, 6'3", like, 240 pounds of, like, muscle. And, like, I could hold my own. Like, I used to box and stuff. And I'm not known for a fighter, but my close friends know that if something happens, like, I got their back. And Becky knew that. And she would have asked me, like, hey, Bo, can you just go talk to this kid? You went to high school with him. Like, back him up a little bit. So I would have went over to Robert's house, and I would have, like, put his neck against the fucking wall, and I would have told him to back the fuck off. You know, I would have gotten in trouble for it, maybe, but I don't care. Like, you know, if he was harassing her that bad, but he wasn't. You know,
did you know that was Becky's ex?
I first time I saw that was Becky's ex when I saw in the news or like some media picture there was a prom picture of them too. That was the first time I figured out they were together.
So she never talked to you about.
Never talked about him.
And Javier never talked to you about Pape and
Javier was so obsessed with Becky that he didn't talk about anything else about Becky. He didn't care who was with her or who was without her or where she was, like, what time you off and I'll be there, you know, like, or like, what do you need? Like, you know, like anything. He was a virgin at the time, and maybe she gave it up to him and like got him hooked that way. I don't know. But he was so obsessed that I've never even been obsessed with like a girl, and I've really liked a lot of girls a lot. Like the point where I will get him a Jamba Juice, I have no questions asked, or they tell me to run and get him something, I will. And I'm not even dating him yet, you know. I'm just trying to show that he went like above and beyond that without even asking, like without even it being wanted, like to the point where it'd be refused sometimes, you know. I don't know.
That's hard.
I mean, you don't see like any other suspects down here living in a different state. With power that his parents have. Like, you know, I can afford a lawyer. Like, I don't get one. Like, my wife was making $9,500 net a month with a $20,000 fiscal bonus net every year. You're pulling, like, $150K after taxes. I could have got a lawyer. You know, I didn't need one. So, I still don't. I don't understand why he needs one and why that specific lawyer provided an affidavit that was given to... Or the DA gave him an affidavit that implicated the two that got arrested. Because without the affidavit, there would have been no arrest. It's really fishy. So, I mean, it sure looks like an accessory to me because he knows what happened. Except he wants immunity. And I think Zellerbach said no. So let's see how Astrin does.
Two more questions for you on this list.
Sorry I'm a little fired up, but just this topic has been eating me alive for like 8 years.
That's okay.
8 and a half.
We can take it. You know, and we'll do the best that we can.
I'm not looking for any $100,000 reward like Luis Bolaños is.
That's that private detective that got him going.
Like, he didn't know shit until I told him everything. He didn't even know Javier's name. He thought his name was Rolando. Like, he didn't know anything. Like, I fed him every information he knows. I even gave him the billboard pictures and all that stuff. Like, I feel kind of bad for doing it because he misled the case in the wrong direction. I'd rather have a thorough investigation like this where you guys go separate, combine stories and collaborate the truth and the false. Because if you can go and you can say, you know, I said this, and then that one person confirms it, he confirms it, but then there's a liar that doesn't look like he's maybe on Javier's side, you can kind of tell with the, you know, proof's in the pudding. So I just, last thing they gave me here, they had a whole printout of my guns that I own. Like, I had a Springfield 40, a shotgun, and all that stuff. And they knew that I was in danger, they just had my printout. I mean, it looks pretty dangerous because I had the same guns they probably got killed with, but I bought them afterwards, so... I got nothing to worry about in that one, but... Well, Javier, he had access to guns, and he didn't have any of his name. I know for sure his dad kept two guns inside the house. And they were, like, there was a 40, and then there was a 38 special, or, like, one you put down here. I don't know what it was.
Backup.
It was a 40, though. It was a Glock. It was a 9mm or a Glock. didn't have a hammer. It was all black. Remember, right. He showed it to me.
Can I say something?
Fucking idiot. He had one in the chamber, and he's like, I told him to drop the clip because he doesn't know what he's doing with guns. And he was like, check it out. And he dropped the clip, and I was like, let me see it.
Who did
that? And he was going to point it at the wall and fire the trigger. I was like, hold on, let me see it. Let me make sure the safety's off.
Slide back.
So I put the slide back, and one pops out the chamber. I'm like, you fucking idiot. You could have killed 22 doors down.
Those men that came here?
That kind of thinking, though, that's something that that's something
then
that doesn't
he got
think.
Subpoenaed
that doesn't like,
to the
think before
Supreme
they act.
Court.
Like, you know, so
for the,
like, a murder,
for the case.
Someone thinks.
But at the time that those four men came here and sat at the table, it was really
I'm 99% sure.
He was on the verge of
had
a breakdown.
To do with it,
he had
but
he was seen a psychiatrist for once a week.
Now, again, bear with
like
me
water,
on the on the questions that I'm asking because you've already talked about them, okay? But I just want you to answer.
Yeah, I was clarifying.
Okay, thank you. So when you were at Becky's house, you spent the night that last night,
yep.
Saturday night, and even if it was it might have been a day before, okay, but
it was the 16th, not night of the 16th. Got there around 7 or 8 p.m. Left around like 8 o'clock in the morning.
And then so well let's talk about that then. Was that the only night that you spent up there at Becky's house? Was on the night of the 16th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, then on the night of the 16th, while you're up there at Becky's house, what did Becky tell you or Javier about Robert Pape's call about him wanting to come over to the house with his friend Christian?
Never got a call.
I'm sorry.
Never got a call.
Didn't get a call?
The whole night we were, like, I was with, okay, I think, if I remember, I'm trying to remember exactly. I'm pretty sure we all drove in three cars, and Javier had driven his car up to Becky's, left it there, and then Becky, or Javier drove back down the hill in his car with Becky in it. And then he left his car, the Dodge Intrepid, at his house in Cat City, and we took my car up the Pinion. Because he wanted to show Becky how fast my car was.
Okay.
I mean, it's a 300 horsepower, 300
So what about the phone
bike.
Call?
You know what an STI is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it had like 450 to the crank.
The
like
phone
I was
call.
It. What phone call?
That he asked you.
I'm lost. A phone call.
Was there a phone
was
call?
Was there a phone call?
From who?
From Robert.
No. The whole night we were up there, I never knew Robert existed until after he got arrested. I never even knew they dated. Like, there was no phone calls, there was no messages, there was no indications of Becky being annoyed, there was no harassing, there was no, like, anything involved. With someone bothering
This is
her.
A statement someone must have made.
Okay. It's a fake statement, because I was there the whole time.
Okay, let me just ask my last question, please. On Saturday, were you also at Garcia's house?
I was at work.
Prior to going, okay. Well, let me ask you this. Were you ever at Garcia's house on Saturday prior to spending the night at Becky's house?
You might have stopped there to grab some of his little supplies or his little clothes or something. Phone charger, something like that.
Okay. Do you recall Becky having a conversation at
if
at
it's
Javier's house?
If it's hiking,
that was,
there's no hiking. I didn't hear any hiking.
Okay. Do you recall
nothing.
Any type of a conversation that got any type of a reaction from Becky that was probably upsetting to her?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. Those were my questions that I wanted to ask you about based on what the reports that I read.
I was around Becky for the past 2 weeks before she died every day. And I was with her at least 6 to 8 hours a day. Okay? And not one phone call came from Robert.
Did you not work? Because it sounds like you worked at Circuit City.
I did work at Circuit City, but my day's off. Like, I worked 10, 12-hour shifts.
And he went to school.
I was a manager by the time I was in high
school.
And
he went to school at the same time.
High school.
How could you spend 6 or 8 hours a day with her? And did she work?
No, this was between September, I'd probably say August 18th to around September 18th, like a month maybe at the most, maybe 3 weeks. In that month, I quit Circuit City because they were going bankrupt, and I started working at this stupid phone booth in the mall. Like, that was like a junk little, like, you know, like a little hustler.
Little kiosk.
Yeah, and I didn't like it. So my hours were like once or twice a week, and I didn't show sometimes if I didn't want to. So I was pretty much in that mindset of being young, reckless, and smoking weed all day and ditching class.
So when did you go back to Circuit City? Because that's where you...
I didn't go back to Circuit City.
You didn't. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought the Sunday of the homicide, you left the house and went to work at Circuit City.
He did.
The Sunday of the homicide, I left Becky's house because I stayed the night there.
Right.
I think I left at like 8 or 9 because I started work at 11 to 7 because it was a Sunday because they open late, close early. So I went there, and it was like probably 8:30-ish, 9 in the morning. Like, I can still remember the drive down the hill. Like, I had my windows down and the breeze because it was good weather. And, like, I remember getting to work, and I know Javier had the day off because he worked at Las Casuelas, or he might have got fired by then, but he had Sundays always off because that was a good day.
But that day you worked at Circuit City?
That's on Sunday.
Okay, and the 2 weeks before that date you didn't work at Circuit City?
No, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
And you went once a week, twice a week, five times a week?
I was at Circuit City working 40 hours a week.
Okay.
40 hours a week. And up until, like, around August 30th.
All right, but I'll narrow it down for us just because we're just kind of talking, he's kind of pinpointed on this certain date. So I'm just trying to get it straight in my head, trying to get an idea of how much time you... And I apologize. My friend Lester here knows this case very well. Mm-hmm. I know a limited amount.
Yeah.
So when I hear you talk, I'm just trying to, in my mind, it's just someone taking it all in.
Yeah.
Trying to understand it. And
it's just
and
like back and
so
forth.
When the gaps come in, I'm going to ask questions that he could probably answer, but I'll hear it from you instead. I'm just trying to understand how...
From Circuit City, I worked there. I started working there in probably 05, and then I started getting the word of them going bankrupt in around like July/August. And right around then, I stepped down from manager. I went to part-time. That's when I was smoking a lot of weed. They noticed a decline in my performance because I was not selling what I usually sell. And my hours got cut down from around 40. Like, I was working probably like 40 to 60 hours a week. Because, like, there was times when I'd come in and Black Friday and stuff like that,
sure.
Set up. Like, we'd have to rearrange the whole store.
But again, just the 2 weeks before the murders,
yeah.
I mean, what you were working about 40 hours a week?
Every time that I was not working, I was with Javier and Becky.
Okay.
Like, from the time I got off to the time I went to bed.
And so you get off, and it sounds like you work until about 8 o'clock at night.
Well, that's on a Sunday. I usually work from, like 9 to 5.
Okay.
And then every night after I got off, we'd always meet up. And
go out.
Yeah.
And smoke.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right.
And I was so new to smoking that, like, my memory is so bad from, like certain parts, but I can remember very things very vividly.
Okay. Like, what's the point of going up and spending the night? Like you said, that was just the one night you spent the night. So you and her, the guy that was, you say, kind of obsessed with her, you two spent the night at the house with her?
Yeah.
And where did you sleep? Did you have your own room?
We all shared a room, but I slept on the floor and they shared the bed. Like, I fell asleep before them, too. Like, they were, like, looking at pictures and stuff, and I was tired, and I was really smoked out. And I had work the next morning, too. I had all my work clothes with me.
Right.
And they knew that, so...
But it sounds like you went to sleep sooner than anybody.
Yeah, I went to sleep before them, too.
Yeah.
For all I know, they could have...
She could have had 15 phone calls, maybe.
Yeah.
You just didn't see him.
Yeah.
But he slept in the bed with her?
It was a small bed. It was like a... Like a, like a single or a twin.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any other arrangements on the floor for him.
Yeah.
So
that's what she, yeah.
And like I said, it went upstairs, and then the roof of the room was like almost like an attic. Yeah, it was an attic. It was like real short. So I couldn't stand up in there, so I like was like, fuck this. I'm laying down, and I just crashed it.
Yeah.
I don't even think she had a TV. I just listened to the radio. But
is that unusual? I mean, if you're not, he's not her boyfriend, and
it is
you're
very
just
unusual.
A friend, but you're invited to spend the night in her room,
that's,
in her bed with
that's
her?
That's the one thing, like, about Javier. After Becky died and I hooked him up to that one girl, Ashley, he called me to hang out with the two of them, like a third wheel. Like that's what he would do. I don't know if it was Ashley asking him to call me to hang out because I'd make it more interesting for them three to... I don't know. But he I'd hang out with him a lot.
It
you remember
just,
that, right?
It just sounds to me like he'd do anything for this girl, and the thought that he would hurt her strikes me as unusual.
That's why the guy. That's like. What the guy last time in the coffee said, there's no way he could hurt her because he was infatuated. But
I remember
and I'm not coming to any conclusion. I'm just saying when I just listened to this.
I believe, too. I don't believe he could have hurt her, but I believe you could have witnessed something that could have hurt her and didn't say anything.
I just would see if he's that obsessed that he showed up and he saw her house on fire that he wouldn't go over there and...
Yeah, he'd probably turn around and book it later. Try and help out or something.
Javier's
some man type. Okay, he's one to put up his fist. You know what I mean? So he turned around like a little bitch and he went home and he didn't tell anybody about it except for me.
So what was the purpose of spending the night?
Me?
Both of you. You guys had never done it before, but that one night you did. Did you? What made that night special?
I have no idea. I think Javier, like, he once again offered to fill my gas tank, and like he wanted to meet her parents, and like. I don't know.
Was it like spur of the moment? Like you just went up and they said, hey, why don't you just stay?
It wasn't planned. It wasn't planned.
Why don't you bring your work clothes with you then?
Because I knew I was working the next morning because I was like, I can't go up there and spend the night if I can't bring my work clothes with me. I'm not calling off. You know me, I don't call off.
I remember the young things we used to do.
If I knew I worked the next morning, I was prepared. I'd like bring all my work clothes with me. I'd get there on time.
So you knew going up the hill though that you'd be spending the night?
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't get up there and then they said, just stay. So it was kind of planned.
Yeah, we walked right in the door. I said, hey, the parents, we didn't even shake their hand.
Yeah.
And up the wooden stairs. I can still remember it in my head. Like, you walk in.
Yeah.
They always call me a detective. I'm bad. They always make fun of me. But oh well.
You went.
I enjoyed it, actually.
It's like a forest up there.
Well, and the fact that he's filling my gas tank. I had a Subaru. It was a race car. It cost around $110 to fill the tank. And super, and he'd fill it every time. So I didn't mind that.
That's motivating.
It's very definitely motivation.
Absolutely.
Every other day.
Yeah. I mean, your friends, he's filling your gas tank. You go. It sounds like you like this girl quite a bit, too.
Me?
Yeah.
Becky?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing?
I like Ashley, the one I gave him to.
Yeah.
Becky, no.
He was very innocent.
She was too hardcore type for me. I was a virgin.
He was a virgin.
I've only been
one
person.
Well, that doesn't mean you could never crush on her.
She was too much of a hardcore girl.
I mean, you only knew her for 2 weeks, 4 hours, 5 hours at
a
time.
I knew she was dating Jacob, and I knew Javier liked her, so I was just like... And
that's enough.
And then me looking at
her. She was a manipulator.
She wasn't.
You could smell it.
But she was a sweet manipulator, though. She didn't do it the harm way. She just did it to get it her way and make her go.
It could get guys in trouble.
Yeah, it got her in trouble because she was talking to several guys at the same time.
What of these crazies did it? We don't know who's
going. Didn't the parents get high, too, though?
I don't know. I don't think so. I know Becky's real dad was the ex.
I know about that.
He works with the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the dad that was there to set that. He was like a carpenter or something. The mom, I don't know about her either. I took one glance at them and went up the stairs. You know, I was just like, nice to meet you, and went up the stairs.
What if the parents were drug dealers and
they
was
weren't
a drug deal?
They weren't
wrong.
Drug dealers. Trust
That's
me.
What happened.
They weren't drug dealers. This is a crime of fucking hate. Like, I can tell. No one drags someone on a wheelbarrow and brings them back and burns them on fire like that. If it was a drug deal gone bad, they'd just go and pop them and leave. They wouldn't chase someone out in the desert, like, unless they have a sack on them, you know, for them to take.
Go ahead.
It's different if someone goes out in the desert with their whole entire sack, like, all the drugs they have, trying not to get caught with it, and, you know, but that person got dragged out in the desert and brought back in a wheelbarrow, and instead of, like doing something more decent with the body, they just fucking light it on fire. Right in front of the house, like a message. It made him sick. It was I saw the wheelbarrow like afterwards it happened because I went to Javier. Like I wouldn't go near anything. It freaked me the fuck out. Like, he was walking through the rubble in the house and shit. And like at first I was trying. He told me he was trying to find like little trinkets or pictures, but it's like he was either trying to find bullet casings or like something like that would implicate like him or whoever he was with, or I don't know what he was doing. But, like, he wouldn't need to go up there with me 3 times and then his ex-girlfriend afterwards 3 times just to look around. Yeah. That's someone, like, likes to...
morbid.
That's someone likes to reminisce the crime scene, like, to get, like, the thrill of it. I'm a criminal law minor, you know? I read about these people all the time. I never thought I would deal with one, but, you know, I just... the way he's set up and politically, he's untouchable. If it was me here, I'd already be in handcuffs and... Even if there was circumstantial evidence or not, I'd be done. But with him, you got to go through loopholes and loopholes and loopholes, and then someone pays off someone, you either in a loophole. I know the deal because I used to go to the events with Javier's mom. You know, I used to have the bumper sticker on my car of Bonnie RCA. So I met Arnold. I know how that shit works. All the notions they give and all the stuff they do. I used to see your checkbook with all the cash he used to write out to all these little places to get favors.
Did you see that show, The Haves and the Haves Not? Have you heard of it?
Mom, don't even start with that show.
Well, what?
If she hasn't heard, don't even start.
She can get tapes of it. You should watch it. It's very interesting.
Your friends or your acquaintances. Let's talk about Javier and let's talk about...
Do you want me to write them all down for you?
No. Okay. No, because I just want
There's
you to
There's only
tell
a few.
Me. Yeah, but I want you to tell me. So let's go down the list. You've got Javier Garcia. And whether they're your friends or they're not, I'm just...
Currently or before?
No.
None of them are currently.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about Javier Garcia. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Jacob Santiago or whatever.
Santiago, whatever his last name is now.
Right.
He used to be Jacob Figueroa, now it's Santiago something.
Your buddies that you work with at...
Alex and Corey.
At Circuit City. Robert Pate, Christian Smith. Tell me about...
There's one person that you might be interested in.
Who am I forgetting?
Her name's Jeannie McDaniel.
Okay.
She is Becky's best friend.
I'm familiar with Jeannie McDaniel. Okay, so of those eight, and if there are more, then that's fine. Tell me how, after the murders, your relationship with each of them either dwindled or maintained or whatever the case being.
Javier dwindled away as a person, but we still remain friends. He was more of a mooch. Like, before he could supply for himself, he didn't have to ask for anything. He would be very dependent. He'd open doors for women. He was like a different person. After the murder happened, he was just opposite. Like I told you, someone went from shaving their eyebrows at an Asian salon to someone growing your afro. Just totally 180 change.
Still a friendship, or is the friendship gone?
Javier?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Javier in probably 5 years, and last time I talked to him was when he tried to get me to buy him weed.
Okay, and you did talk about that earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alex?
Alex.
Alex, as far as I know, he works at the Village Pub downtown Palm Springs. He's a bouncer or whatever. He has a mustache like this, like an old Western. He's the kind of guy that I think he's got previous law problems, so he's so scared shitless of any kind of investigator or any kind of cop that he'll just say he doesn't know what you're talking about. I've already tried talking to a friend of friend, and he blocked me on Facebook about it.
So basically,
like, I've known him since high school.
Blocked you?
Yeah. Like, that's how, like, it's back when he used to work at Circuit City.
I remember.
He got in trouble for stealing from the warehouse, and he got so scared that they were going to catch him that they hired a lawyer before it even happened.
That guy?
Yeah, that's, imagine how he feels now.
What was his last name? I don't remember.
Let me write it down for you.
I'll write down my friend's name.
Facebook, though?
Yeah, after I asked him about that. And there's another guy named Nick Crum, too, who's in the Army in Texas.
He was a nice kid.
Luis got a hold of him, but I don't know what happened with that. But he told me that, Nick told me that one time he was at Javier's cousin's house, Jacob. Jacob's roommate, some guy named Austin, and Javier loading gas cans and shovels in the trunk of a car. And that's in a police report somewhere, too. His name's Austin something. I don't know if you know who that is, but...
How could that be in a police report?
There are so many things that fall out of the sky when it comes to dealing with...
If that was truly, though, in a police report...
They refused lie detector test, Mom. There's a few of them.
And you have to understand, and you know this, that it doesn't matter what you say, it's the fact that you said it, okay, that sometimes needs documentation. It has to be documented. Okay, whether it's factual or trumped up or whatever the case being.
Even with a lie detector?
It doesn't matter, man. If it came out of your mouth or if you are saying that somebody else said that, then there's a good chance that's going to be annotated. So whether it's, I'm not saying that is the case or isn't the case, I'm just telling you that if that's being said, you know, during statements, interviews, whatever the case being, well, it needs to be duly noted. Wouldn't you
agree?
I think
another person you should check out.
And then you can clarify that or
a
do your best.
A gas can and shovels.
You know, what you think about that, man? And I mean...
Could be hearsay.
That horrific situation that occurred up there.
If it wasn't hearsay, a gas can and shovels, I mean, that's like...
You don't know how bad of a conflict of interest this case is. You have no idea.
Well, but do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying that.
But I also understand that you can't say everything sitting here either.
Well, but again, just think about basic human nature. When you know the details of what happened up there, or you have an idea of what
somebody,
you think
why would
happened,
somebody make that up?
Absolutely. But
I'm going to list the person here. Her name is Valerie Bergman. She lived in Pinyon, and she knew Becky. Okay. And she hung around Javi, Becky, all of us all at the same time. And she'll, if you talk to her, you can just look her up on Facebook. Her name will pop up like that. She's familiar with how Javi was obsessive. In a girl's point of view, she'll let you know.
Okay.
And this is one of Becky's good friends.
Thank you.
But the problem is she's dating Corey Donovan.
Okay. So it's okay. Again, like I said, the only information that you're getting from me is what you're giving me.
This would be a good one, though. Ashley Shepherd. She's the one that I handed off to Javi after Becky died, like I didn't have rebound. And he's the one that took her up there like 4 or 5 times to reminisce. And she thought I was so scared that her mom came and told me at my work. So she might have some information about what he said when he's up there, why he wanted to go up there, because...
Are you allowed to say, did they ever talk to her?
Yeah, they did. Luis did. Not at Riverside County, but I know Luis did. But Luis talking to anybody is just bullshit. I mean, I think that these people do a better job than Luis because they have more power. They have more resources. He's a PI that got fired from their office. I don't like talking to him anymore. I fed him enough information where if he gets his little $100,000 reward, he can put up his ass. He didn't know anything when he approached me. He didn't know anything. He didn't know any of the suspects. Didn't know any of the names. Like, he was taking notes like 3 full pages long. I mean, I'm glad what he's doing, but I just hope it's not after a reward money, you know? So Ashley Shepherd is the one I circled. Okay. That's Javier's last girlfriend. I can go on my phone, my thing here. That's at 1%. Do you have your phone with you?
It's probably at 5%.
Do you have a phone?
I sure do.
Well, we're all dead. I don't have her phone number, but
wait a minute.
Luis went over and talked
to her in the car.
Luis went over
and to ring.
Luis went over and talked to her at her house and said he got more information off her than
here,
anybody else.
You could use mine. Can I ask you, please? Because you didn't bring it up. What about that morning after when that guy was with Bo and the mother was not honest? I remember that distinctly. She said that her son was helping her
event.
Set up for a campaign event, only he wasn't with her. He was with Bo.
I got it right here.
Well, I'm not going to do that here because...
That's her on the left right there. Her name's Ashley Marie Shepherd. If you want her address, I don't know exactly, but I can go on my thing and get it if you want to. I personally would talk to her face to face because her mother came in at work and like spotted me out and told me that like her daughter was freaked the F out about like what happened with him or Javier.
No, I'll research it that way. Okay. It's clean Shepherd. And it's something on my end. And to answer your question, anything that you think is noteworthy to be recorded, it probably has been already. So
that far.
So okay. There's no sense in doing that. If it's necessary, it will happen.
Yeah, Javier hasn't had a Facebook for like 8 years.
Okay.
He knows what he's doing. He's got parent instruction.
No, they can't do that probably if they're correctional officers.
Can we talk about him? I didn't even have a Facebook.
Can you have a Facebook?
Prisoners have Facebooks, man. I'll show you a prisoner with a CDC outfit on, posting his cell like this. You can get anything in prison.
I work with you guys, too.
That's nice that we're all paying
Javier,
for it.
Javier, Jacob, Corey, Alex, Nick, Corley.
What do you guys think about that Proposition 47?
I might have a phone number right here, too.
No one's happy about that.
Please load. Please load.
Can you believe that people
are you still maintaining contact with
yeah.
Nick?
Yeah, he
sounds,
hit me up.
You don't think, they don't
What's
know.
Funny is this.
They don't know what we
I'll show you.
You know, so you catch someone with a little bit of meth. It's not a big deal. We don't need to fill the jails for people like that. We should, you know, leave it for the violent criminals. But who do you think is stealing your stuff? The same people who have a little bit of dope on it. How do you think they pay for that?
But
they're breaking into your houses and your car. You know, they don't see it as that.
You hear
so then also
that
part of those people over.
Which one? Street.
We can cite them
Lopez.
For stuff. We can't get them off the street.
How long ago?
Yeah, that part about
week,
what is it,
ago?
Walking down the street
okay.
And somebody
I didn't know the name.
So the Salvadorian
that's
under,
what is it?
Okay.
If it's under $750, then they just get
sold. Oh, really?
No, that's a robbery.
Oh, that's too
that's
bad.
Not just a theft. That's a robbery.
I mean,
I just want to
show you
the
side.
Take someone's purse off their shoulder. So that probably wouldn't
be. He changed his ways. He's not like that anymore.
It's just, you know, they're just looking at this moment. It was just a little bit of this.
All right, let me get
it. But those people
life is precious, man.
A lot of them.
No, he posted a thing. I feel like I'm going to get shot one day, too.
Newfound boyfriend is like a felon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we sort of followed him in the court records.
915.
And he had a whole slew of these felonies.
You got
and
a
he
fed
was
kid.
In jail. And all of them
were
the federal things and they let him right out.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right, thanks.
Like
this is probably the most important one.
All right. New jail.
And his wife had to attend the awareness program. She's a very severe, she's mental. She's mentally ill, but she's a severe addict. She had to attend the awareness program, and I checked on there, and it said, I think that due to that proposition, she asked for some kind of dismissal from that, too.
Yeah.
So,
officers aren't happy.
California is the place to move now, huh?
I guess. Or Colorado.
Or the place to move out of.
Straight to Colorado.
But you know, this thing, like, he was all freaked out about Javier. I don't know, maybe he's being nicer now, but he was.
Find Nick. It's gonna say Facebook user because he deleted it.
Did he block you?
He wasn't doing so good. He asked me if I could sell a pound of weed for him, and I was like, dude, you're in the army. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, no, I don't know anybody. If I had an army job, I wouldn't fuck that up. I'm a moron.
Would you believe that that's a miniature schnauzer barking?
One of them.
Really?
As soon as I can get this in for you, it'll pay off.
And a little Wizard of Oz terrier.
I appreciate that.
Because he messaged me and was like, hey, hit me up, I need to talk to you. And I was like, for what? And he's like, oh, it's about that Javier case, blah, blah, blah. So I gave Luis his phone number. Mm-hmm. And,
how long ago was that when he tried to get a hold of
him? I'll let you know.
Okay.
I have all time stamped right here. Here it is. On May 3rd, he hit me up. And then again on October 30th.
May 3rd of what year? I don't know.
14. Soon. So like 2 months after they did the arrest. See, he put, hey, hit me up. And then he put, hey, hit me up again, I need to talk to you.
Okay.
And I put, he's going to call you, answer me, calls. That's Luis that was going to call me. The investigator.
Okay. Is that the number you're going to give me?
Yeah.
No, and you've noticed, Bo, that I haven't made reference of anybody that I've talked to prior to you, correct?
What do you mean?
You know how you're saying, don't let him, you know, you don't have to tell him that I gave you the number, right?
This must be so interesting. They can match up all the different stories.
But I'm just saying, do you understand that, like, in us talking, have I told you that I've
asked for the number?
That I've directly talked to anybody?
No.
You know, but some people,
because that's just how
I
work.
I understand.
They do their best.
Strictly business.
That's very important.
So here's his number. What I'll do is I'll call right now to verify it's still him. And then if he answers, I'll just be like, the way he messaged me, he seemed pretty adamant about wanting to help. I mean, his evidence that he said seemed a little far-fetched, a little late to be saying that. But, like, I do believe him because he spent just as much time around Javier as I did me. But I spent more time around Becky Javier than him.
Legitimate. It's an honest statement. But, you know.
Number you dialed has been changed, disconnected,
or... So what I can do... Because I can track his number down.
Okay. You have my cell phone.
That's what you
have. Yeah, I've got your cell phone.
Yeah.
Right here.
And that's my personal cell phone, so.
Yep. Or actually, it's in his house. What is this? Is this yours? Is this your pen?
That you defaced, yeah, if you need one.
So Nick Crum, he's in Texas, stationed out of somewhere. Mm-hmm. Ashley Shepard, that's his ex-girlfriend. That's the one that he brought up there three times. Mm-hmm. Valerie Bergman, that is one of Becky's old best friends that lives in Pinion. Currently, and did when it happened.
Okay.
Nick Horline, he lives in Pinion as well. That's where we used to party at. Alexander is the one that will like tell you to fuck off and doesn't know anything. He doesn't remember. Corey Donovan, his dad's a Palm Springs police officer, and he's butt buddies with Javi, so he might tell you the same. Jacob Figueroa is
Santiago.
Yeah, Santiago. Mm-hmm. So you pretty much got it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of really any other names that are involved, but as far as the main circle, that's like who. Like starting with going down from here.
Okay. So let me just run down those. As far as who you're still in contact with or consider a friend or someone that you can reach out to.
On there.
Javier Garcia.
No.
Okay.
Actually,
Jacob Figueroa.
No one on there.
No one? Alright.
I've cut my ties.
Okay. Alright. And again, like I told you, none of these folks know that
Nick,
need to know.
Nick
that.
Is still like he thinks he's friends with me, but like when he asked me to like help him sell a pound of weed and asked me if he was in the army, like I'm not gonna help him destroy his career, you know?
Absolutely. Tell him what was that?
Like 6 months ago. I'm not gonna like I've already done enough damage in my life where I can't even apply to be in the army, and I'd love to join the armed forces because of the benefits you get, like the career long path you get, like the entrance, the exit opportunities to careers. Because I mean they'd definitely be able to hire a veteran over someone like me. So I mean I didn't want to like talk to him because he was fucking up. Like, plain and simple. I'm over it. I mean, imagine making $9,000 a month and how much drugs would be around you, you know? Not working all day. Like, so I'm just done.
Hey, you know what, man? Stop beating yourself up. Because
yep.
you've already got your AA. You're looking forward to go on and get your degree in psychology, correct?
I mean, I want to get it just to have it, but I want to kind of change my major.
Tell you what, and your mother will tell you, the door is at open. You know,
yeah.
Once you start marketing yourself as being somebody who's accomplished, you know, the academic things that you want to do to help society, you're not going to have a problem.
Yeah, the winners do it, the losers don't want to do.
So, you know, and I don't like to share boring stories with you, but, you know, one of the people I admire the most is my father, who's passed away. But
was he in law enforcement?
No, he was not. But he spent several years in prison before he turned his life around, got his degrees.
and became a chemist and made life very, very good for
that's what some prison can do to people, but other people are just... That's like a rare chance that it happens to somebody.
It happened. It happened. And I'm living proof of it. Yeah, I got to reap the benefits of that.
Most people that happen like that, they go in for a crime that's not really serious. But while they're in there, they realize just a stupid mistake they made to get themselves there and like what they're going to do to get out to get themselves better and beyond what they were before.
You know, we don't all have the answers, and that's why we kind of rally around each other.
Hopefully his time is coming soon. So maybe you can be an inmate at one of the correction officers.
Just like I told you when we were talking on the phone, I want to get the truth.
Yeah.
That's what I
do. I'll do whatever I can to help, too. I'm not going to lie or hold anything back or defend anybody. I want justice.
Yeah. And that's all.
There's nothing more than that. It's true.
And for us, we're a family. We deserve it.
It's all right.
Listen, you have my cell phone. You can call me anytime you want. If you do not want me to reach out to you, I won't call you anymore. But if I have a question or two, I may give you a call. But if you're saying we're done, then that's fine. I respect that.
Are you allowed to give me updates too or no?
I can give you updates that pertain to you.
Okay.
And I can give you obviously public updates, which you probably would know. But as far as me talking about somebody else's situation,
probably someone like I've heard a neighbor in the
Ashford City, right?
That's correct.
Let me go ahead and go off. What time do you have right now?
It is 6 o'clock.
Ending investigation interview, and the time is now 1800 hours.
Do my accounts is really time consuming. Anything that can help me and make my life easier, give me 5 minutes more to spend with my daughter, I will honestly take it on.
Sage Tools helps small business owners like Kaylee have more time for those precious little moments. Visit sage.com today. Sage, helping business flow.